Good evening, everyone. It is 6 p.m. on Tuesday, May the 10th, 2022. This is a regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember Dalrymple.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Assemblymember Dalrymple. There are no ceremonial matters tonight. The gallery is fairly full. I would just ask a couple of things. If people could please silence their phones in advance, that would be great. And the second thing is during the assembly meeting, I would just encourage folks to listen to the folks that are speaking and let's not try to have any sidebar conversations going on during the assembly meeting. It becomes quite distracting for us up here. So thank you. Roll call, please, Kim.
Yes, Assemblymember Howe.
Here.
Ford.
Here.
Gilbert. Morrison. Brian Howe.
Present.
Dalrymple.
Here.
And I am also present. Item number 3 is persons to be heard. Section WMC 3.05.040C states that the chair may call to order any person who is breaching the peace or being disorderly by speaking without recognition, engaging in bullying or catcalls, speaking vulgarities, name-calling, personal attacks, or engaging in other conduct which is determined by the chair to be disruptive of the meeting. Any person so disrupting the meeting of the assembly may be removed and barred from further attendance at the meeting unless permission to return or remain is granted by a majority vote of the assembly. Okay, we have quite a few folks to be heard tonight. I'm just going down here. School funding. So, Kim, should I make an invitation for folks to speak before the matter on the school funding, or do you want to cover it off all now?
They
could do it now. Okay. As I call out the names, I'm going to give folks the option to speak to the item when we come to it, and I also appreciate that you may not want to sit through the whole meeting, so you may want to speak now, but some folks like to speak right before the assembly takes the matter up. So I'll give folks the option. Ms. Morris, you'd like to speak on school funding tonight. Would you like to speak now or wait till the item comes up?
Okay,
thank you. David Lolison, is that, am I pronouncing the name correctly?
Wilson.
Oh, David, sorry. It looked like an L, David, I'm sorry. Would you like to speak now? I've only known you for 25 years. The mask, I didn't recognize you and your handwriting. Would you like to speak now, Mr. Wilson, or wait till the item comes up?
When the item comes up.
Thank you. Shiner?
I can wait until it comes up.
Okay, thank you. Hagelman?
Same.
Does anybody who's on the list for school funding like to speak now? Clint? No. I know why you're here. All right, I'm going to go through and we'll revisit that at the time, okay? Clint, would you like to do a Forest Service update for us at this time?
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A brief update, unlike my last one. So two items that I'd like to bring to everyone's attention. The Roosevelt Harbor Restoration Project is currently out for solicitation. So we've made it through the contracting process. And solicitations are out. They went out on Friday, and solicitations close on May 23rd. And the biggest reason for sharing this, one, that it's actually a small milestone or a large milestone success, but also the coordination between us and the community as far as coordinating removal or moving any vehicles that are still operational. So let me clarify that because the solicitation is out and that it closes doesn't mean that it will necessarily go to contract. There are other things that have to potentially happen. So one, people need to bid on it, and two, the bids need to be acceptable. I am hopeful and positive that we're going to be able to overcome that. With that in mind, I'd like to encourage people to share the information that if this does go under contract, which I feel that it will, the contract performance period of performance when the work needs to be done can start as early as June 1st. And it ends the end of July. Our hope was to get that set up to be done before deer season began. I wish that it had gone the process a little bit faster, but we are a bureaucracy, and the good news is it made it through. So it's not a ton of time, but it's still enough time for people to be able to move vehicles. And so on the vehicle moving part, we have gone over to Deep Bay Harbor and staked out locations where if anyone has a vehicle at Roosevelt Harbor and you want it to remain on the island, I would suggest that you move it over to Deep Bay at your earliest convenience and park it in front of one of the stakes that has a number on it, and please pull it straight in or back it straight in. Try not to parallel park, otherwise we'll run out of room potentially. So the contract is for the restoration of the hydrological flow, so to speak, of that administrative site that we all call a parking lot, but in reality it's an administrative site. And we're going to restore the hydrological flows and functions, get the drainage ditches fixed, the catchment pond fixed, and resurface the area so things aren't flowing back into the harbor. And in order to do that restoration work, there can't be anything impeding that work. So anything that's not moved prior to the beginning of construction is going to be removed by the contractor. So that's the bottom line. So like I said, I'll repeat one last time. The performance time when the contractor can begin, if we have a successful bidder, is June 1st. It doesn't mean they will start that day. They have that 8-week period in which to complete the work. But my advice is to folks, get the word out. The sooner you can move your vehicle over to Deep Bay. And if you haven't already contacted the Forest Service to help us get an inventory of the vehicles, please get the word out to just call us and let us know so that we can try to do a better job of tracking what's out there. So that's the biggest news that I want to share. So we're making progress on that. Are there any questions for me from the assembly?
Any questions?
Okay. The other topic I wish to share is in regards to what we're calling the New Cabins EA, and just an update on the NEPA process for that project. And I'll reiterate that this environmental assessment is not necessarily to build new cabins, but to identify locations where new cabins can be built. So we've all heard that term, shovel ready. So what we're doing is our best to be shovel ready when the funding becomes available, that we have locations that we've already gone through the NEPA process or the planning process so that we can act swiftly to do implementation and begin to build new cabins. So this is a location project to identify those locations and get them NEPA cleared. So that, I call it the New Cabins EA. We had a great public engagement session about 3-4 weeks ago. Unfortunately, I was in an airplane on Alaska Airlines, only because they had canceled my reservation 3 days before, so I was not able to attend the meeting. But we had really good participation. We got a lot of great public input. And this is all prior to the formal scoping process. And that's all I wanted to give an update on, is that the formal scoping will begin sometime around the middle of June. It's a 30-day comment period. And about 2 to 3 weeks into that period, the team is going to hold another public engagement session. So anyone who attended that first one, we have all that contact information. We'll send that back out to everybody. And then we'll give an update on where we're at with scoping and try to clarify any further questions and help narrow down our analysis area for that. So that's going according to plan as well. So a couple of neat things to share that I know you guys have your fingers on the pulse of. So way under the time limit from last time I reported out. but those are the only two real good updates I thought would be relevant. So unless that's there's any questions, point. That's it from the Forest Service.
Thank you very much. And maybe we could get that information and share it on our website or our Facebook page as well, Kim, and make sure that we're get it out as much as possible okay. So folks know to move their vehicles. Excellent.
Thank you.
Any other questions for... Thanks so much. Appreciate you coming down tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Is there... I think that was it for everybody else's school funding, and we'll take that up at the time. I saw a couple of folks come in late. I don't want to miss an opportunity for anyone who wanted to speak to the assembly. Did anybody want to speak? And I'll give another opportunity for school funding at the time. So if it's about school funding, I'm going to do that when we hit the mark. So, is that, and if you can't wait, I'll have you come up now. What would you like to do? Okay, perfect. All right. Then we'll move along here. I just mentioned that we did have a correspondence from Bruce McQueen. It was an excellent letter regarding court commission discussion requiring vessel insurance. So just to bring that to the assembly's attention. Is there an item number four? Is there any amendments to the agenda?
I'd like to remove item C and our executive session because it's not ready for us to talk about that.
Okay, so there's a motion to remove C and the executive session. Do I have a second?
Del Ruppel second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Yeah, I would just say that the discussions are ongoing on the PILT and search. So we'd just like to push everything back until we're ready for the final version of that.
Thank you, City Manager. Good. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly
members
Ford?
Yeah.
Powell?
Yes.
Del
Ruppel? Yes.
David
Powell?
Yes. And Anderson? Yes. Item five, conflict of interest. Does anybody have a conflict of interest with any agenda item tonight? Yeah.
It's come to my attention there's a perception of a possible conflict of interest in my debating and voting on a local contribution to the schools. I understand this perception exists. However, I must insist that I derive no financial benefit directly from any increase or decrease in the borough's contribution to the schools. No contract negotiations of any kind are or will be taking place. My contract has been approved. My position is federally mandated, and I'm the senior teacher in my department. Therefore, it is my firm and solemn conviction that I do not have a conflict of interest in this case.
Thank you. So with that, I would agree. And I think the last time I asked you to declare a conflict, it was due to you were the negotiator for the union. And I know you didn't do that this time. So. I appreciate that, and we'll have you vote on that item unless somebody in the assembly would like to raise a problem with that. All right. Anybody else? Conflicts of interest? Hearing none. Item six, consent agenda.
I'd like to move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Assemblymember Powell.
Second.
Seconded by some member of the board. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes, Assembly Members Ryan Howell.
Yes.
Del Ruppel.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
Ford.
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud.
Yes. Item seven, Borough Manager's Report. City Manager Good, do you want to give us a report? And I would encourage you maybe to take an opportunity to introduce our attorneys since we're here tonight, too. Thank you.
Ken, yeah. So, yeah, actually, you guys want to introduce yourselves as we...
I'm Joe Levesque. I'm with Levesque Law Group, and we represent the city and borough of Brandon.
My name's Jason Thomas. I'm an associate with Joe Levesque.
So we don't have in-house attorneys, so they represent us in any legal matters. So that's who we go to for advice. So... So I just kind of want to go through some of the topics, some of the questions that were asked during the last assembly meeting. Just want to kind of follow up on some of it. Some of it weren't agenda items, but there were some questions that were asked. One was about Nixle. It is used for informing of lost persons, power outages, road closures, and some coded information. There are three options to that. Alert, which is critical, time sensitive, sent to both SMS and emails. Advisory, which is scheduled situations. And then community messages, event notices, things like that. Right now, anyone interested in receiving Nix alerts can register their cell phone number and or email address by following the link on our website. It does still refer to a passcode, however, it's no longer needed. We just haven't removed it yet, so we'll try to get that done. We did reach out to Trident, and they don't plan on running this year, but they did mention that they are going to try to open or run next year. And then the Nolan Trust, it was mentioned that could we go after some grant funding for the roof repair instead of funding it. So we are going, we did get in contact with them, and we will be applying for a grant from them to pay for the roof, the Nolan Center. There was a request to put the restrooms issue at the city dock as an agenda item. We're just not ready for it yet. There's a lot, and I kind of went through here as far as a lot of the different options, and I can go through each of the options and kind of we can talk about it. There's a lot of costs associated with each of the options. There's no easy answer to that problem down there. Each one is going to either we build some temporary facilities, and I just briefly summarize the options. Either we build some temporary facilities there, we provide signage to the ones we currently have at the Elks, or we have to put porta potties in, and then we actually have to buy the equipment to then empty the porta potties because the company that used to do it in town sold to Petersburg, and there's no one in town that does it. So we would actually either and probably have to hire a summer hire as well to do it, as well as build, you know, buying all the equipment such as a pump, you know, a truck to put it on or a trailer to put it on, and then also do it. And that's during the 4th of July time, you're talking probably 2 to 3 times a day that would need to be emptied, and then probably 2 to 3 times a week. Another option is we could try to get some porta potties and then pipe plumb them in as a temporary fix, kind of what we do at Petroglyph Beach right now. Those are actually plumbed into our sewage system. The only problem we have is it's a pretty long run to tie in over in that area because there's nothing at the dock itself. So some expensive options. So the other option is we just put some signage up to direct them to the building at the Elks. We did look at some cost estimates to actually go from single occupancy restrooms for female and male over for that one and maybe make that one bigger. We went to one company that actually sells packages, and they were like $450,000 to $500,000 for a two-holer for each one. So probably cheaper at that point just to do stick build and build something. So we have we're looking at a bunch of different options. Like I said, nothing's easy. It's just we got to kind of narrow it in as a staff and try to make a recommendation to the assembly. We're just not there yet, given the cost associated with all of them and the staffing that's going to require it if we do actually put porta potties there. So.
City Manager, would that come out of the tourism money?
It could. I don't think I'd have to check with finance director. Given some of the options that are there, we don't currently have that type of funding in the account, especially for a permanent fix, but we could for maybe a summer or some temporary fixes or even signage. We could definitely do something like that.
Jeff, I know another option, I don't know how viable it was, that we would do outreach out to the different businesses in town and actually provide some funding for them if they were willing to provide public restrooms.
And Caitlin she gave us a report on that. She did a great job of reaching out to all the local businesses. And I think there were three that were kind of technically public restrooms. The rest of them were all for personal, like business only. And of the three, there was not a lot of interest even being funded to open it up, just given the number of people who have to traffic through there.
So. Anything else on that topic? Thank you.
Okay, and then just one item I'd like to mention. There's just getting a lot of requests and conversations for people that are wanting utilities, you know, outside of electricity, which I think everyone pretty much understands the process, that they need electricity to their house or to their business, that they have to go to Light and Power to get that. I think we're getting a lot of verbal requests on like water or sanitary sewer. But I would just make sure that everyone goes and actually fills out a utility service so that we have it documented and we can track it. And then that allows us tracking that we can then follow up as well. Because sometimes when they get the verbal, it sometimes gets lost. I just want to make sure we have a tracking mechanism, and then we can start hopefully trying to do some metrics, but start developing a process so we have a maintenance process, we have a project process where we're actually tracking these things and following through with them as well, so stuff doesn't get lost just on a verbal. So just to the public, just please fill out a utility service if you need it so that we can track it. And the rest of the stuff is from the department heads, that if there's want to go through each of the departments, you can kind of read through it's in the report. That's all I had.
Any questions for City Manager Good? Okay. Clerk Lane, you're up.
Mine's pretty quick. So Kate, the Parks and Rec Department, is doing a downtown garden bed work event. And I'm sure the public has seen this on our Facebook page, but it's Saturday, May 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And to meet at the Cover Pavilion, and lunch is provided. I think it was really successful last year. So Also, I'm going to be gone for the next assembly meeting on the 24th, and Robbie Marshall will be going in as the deputy clerk. All confidence in the world, you'll do a great job. And then also to remind the public that June 11th is a special primary election for state representatives. So I'm going to help Sarah for a couple days in here doing absentee voting in case. For people who don't want to mail in their ballot to receive their ballot, they can bring it in here all the way up until the 10th of June. Actually, the 11th, Sarah's going to be here for a few hours on the 11th on Saturday doing that. Also, there's some people who haven't received their ballot in the mail because this is a by mail only election. They can come in here and ask them to vote.
Excellent. Any questions for the clerk? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Does anybody have any reports for us today? Yeah, Member Dalrymple.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to let everybody know to follow up with what Clint talked about with the new cabin project, that we're a cooperating agency with them working on it. It's been a passion of the community for decades now to get a new cabin. So we put a map out front, and it's on the wall, and there's little comment sheets. And just ask people, let them know if they're walking by that map, just take a look at it and provide the Forest Service your input on where you'd like to see a new cabin. Like Clint said, it'll be a formal process here shortly, but this is kind of the kickoff, I guess, to that. Get people thinking about it.
Excellent. Anyone else? I will be down in Ketchikan for meetings for SEPA on Thursday, and Finance Director is on the board with me on that, and we have two community members. So this is our first in-person meeting, I think, in 2 years. So this will be trial and error here. And I'll report back after we're done the board meeting. All right. We're on to Mayor and Assembly appointments. Item 10, there are none. Item 11, public hearing, ordinance number 1024 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections in Chapter 14.13, Impoundment of Vessels in the Wrangell Municipal Code. And with that, I will declare the public hearing open. Does anybody wish to speak to that item? Hearing anyone, Jeff, did you want to give a report on that?
I can. Essentially what it does is before, whenever we'd impound the vessel, we kind of owned it at that point. If anything happened, the city was on the hook for paying for it. What this does is it says even if we impound it, the people who own the vessel are still liable for anything that happens to that vessel. So.
Okay. Is there anyone else want to comment on that from the audience? Hearing nothing, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1024.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
We'll give that one to Hal. It was a tie there. So we'll give that Ryan the second and Powell the motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, full vote, please, Kim.
Yes, Assembly Members Ryan Howe.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
Ward.
Yes.
And Mayor.
Yes, item 12, unfinished business, resolution number 04-22-1690, the Assembly of the City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the sale of public land in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code Chapter 16.12, specifically Lot A, Block 54, WMC replat, plat 2016-6, Wrangell Recording District. This was postponed from the April 26, 2022 Assembly meeting.
Move to approve the revised resolution number 04-22-1690.
Moved by Powell. Do you have a second?
Dalrymple seconds.
Dalrymple seconded. Jeff, can you give us an update on this, please?
I can. So during the last meeting, there was a question that if the bids did come in over $1 million, how do we handle that? Because it would have to go to a vote of the people to be able to sell anything in excess of $1 million. So what we're proposing, instead of going out to a public sale, we do a sale on our website, starting at the bid of $830,000, which is the, or $850,000, anyway. Whatever the actual appraisal for, that's what we'll open it up at. And then depending on if it does go to $1 million, we'll have a stipulation in there that if it does exceed $1 million, then we'll have to go to a vote of the people for approval. So there'll actually be a clause in our sale that says if it does increase, then they'll have to wait until it gets approved or disapproved before they can move forward, essentially.
Thank you. Questions from city manager?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, $700.
There's two options in this resolution. I'm not sure if we vote on this, what we're voting on.
Go turn to the clerk on that, please.
So the options are in the summary statement section. So the option that we are proposing, which would, unless it's amended, means something we'll be approving, is to go with the public advertising option.
The other option is that we just don't do it and we just go straight to the vote of the people.
And that option, does that have a number? Well, there's a one and a two here.
So the other, actually...
Is there a three?
Right. So the first option is... The first option is that we go as what the resolution says, which is not to put up the public surplus. Through public surplus and just instead advertise. The second option would be to put it through public surplus site. We can also put it through, just put it up for bid on the next ballot. We could do that, but it would be starting, I wouldn't suggest doing that because it's the fair market value is $830. And so, if we're putting it out there to say that if it goes over $1 million, the voters approve that, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to do it that way. And if we, so if it went for over $1 million, so the bid process would be all through the month of June, and so if it closed June 30th, and it was over $1 million, then I would bring something back to the assembly in July to put the question before the voters. And then all through August is declaration of candidacy, so it's moving along. And so the person who bids on it will have that understanding that if it goes over $1 million, that nothing could happen until the voters ratify.
Thank you.
And the administrative guidance is to do the option.
Yes,
as well, for point of clarification, if it goes over $1 million and we go to a vote of the people in October, that's the folks who'd be voting on liquidating the hospital, not on who's bidding on the hospital. So that
correct
you and okay. Any other thoughts, questions? All right, full vote, please, Kim.
Assembly members Ryan Cowell?
Yes.
Del Rimple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
No.
And Mayor Persona?
Yes. All right, item 13A, approval of fiscal year 2023 Wrangell Public Schools budget and local funding contribution in the amount of $1.592 million. I'm going to just hold on the motion for a minute. Kim, is that appropriate for me to hear, or do you want to just make the motion to move forward from there? Okay, I will entertain a motion at this time.
Go ahead.
Move to approve the FY 2023 Wrangell Public Schools budget and local funding contribution in the amount of $1,592,000.
Okay, moved by Powell.
Second.
Seconded by Howe. All right, at this point, I think what I'm going to do is ask for people that would like to speak to the item, and I am going to move President Wilson, who is our president of our school board, to the top of the list here. So if you'd like to start off, Mr. Wilson, we'll hear you at this point. folks, I'm going to ask, I don't want to time people, if you could keep sort of around 3 or 4 minutes, but I want everybody to have a chance to be heard. So I just, in the interest of keeping us moving forward, but if you need a little extra time, I'm willing to go there. So, Mr. Wilson, thank you.
I'm trying to do it as fast as I could. I've timed it and everything, but I am over 4 minutes, so I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm standing here as a father, graduated 6th through school. I've got 5 grandchildren, and I'm president of the school board. And I'm a very concerned member. We know the financial situation of education is dire. Here in Alaska, we're at the lowest funding we've been in 13 years. Yes, I know that we've had past problems with the administrations, but it's a new leadership in Wrangell. We've got a new leadership in the city and the borough. We've got a new leadership in our district. Holding on past is too costly. When we had our workshop at the assembly, there were accolades for Superintendent Burr wanting to look forward and plan for the future. But that takes resources and commitment. We're committed, and we're asking for your commitment. I see the commitment of our administration. Mr. Burr, whose feet barely hit the ground this last summer, started already to discover discrepancies in our business and financial records and started rectifying them immediately. He brought back Mrs. Roop, hired a new business manager, worked countless hours. He's worked hard to improve relationship with staff, community, borough assembly, building partnerships, reestablishing trust in administration, and his desire to focus on our students. I've seen the commitment of Mr. Davis and Mrs. Miller Yancey as they've given their lives, almost their entire careers, to Wrangell schools, working to build a sound system for our community. The many long, and I do mean long hours, they've put in to helping develop programs that will have ongoing and lasting influence on our students, and the many times they've covered for teachers having because of shortages of paraprofessionals and substitutes. Their commitment to our students is unending. I've seen the commitment of our teachers that have gone well beyond what's expected of them. For the last 2 years, all over the country and the state, associations have been on strike, fighting administrations over contract disputes. We've stayed open because of the administration and our teachers. Teachers that can't even take bathroom breaks without calling the office for somebody to cover for them. Teachers going without prep time, lunch breaks, countless hours developing online lessons, developing whole new ways of contacting and reaching out to students. Their commitment to the students, to the profession, to our schools is ongoing. I've seen the commitment of our students working hard every day to better their own education. They're tireless in trying new things. Students that are helping to write grants to bring money into our school programs to better their education and better the atmosphere of our schools. The BASE program, building a supportive environment, led by students to support one another in all areas and needs throughout the high school and middle school in their education, helping to provide social-emotional support for each other, sponsoring activities, fundraisers, and support for their own programs. They're helping provide a friendlier environment, more conducive to learning, helping provide food for those in need, breakfast programs. They even started a scholarship program this year. Students and student groups working with administration helped improve class offerings, how to develop individual classes to meet students' needs. I could go on, but I'll probably get buzzed. This is commitment. As a district, we've had to cut teaching positions, programs, classes. Our class sizes have grown. We have cut class offerings, all knowing that education to our students can be suffering. So we've been working hard to reevaluate how we do things, how we can still offer a high-quality education. However, we are limited, and just what we can do, we're constantly fighting to stay alive. Without additional funding, we will be deficit spending. We'll be bleeding, an arterial bleed that needs more than Band-Aids. We need an infusion of funds to help us reestablish the highest quality of education we're capable of offering here in Wrangell. And believe me, we're capable of great things here. We have great teachers and staff that are all a part of this community, a superintendent and new administrators that continue to work hard, work heavily committed to in a committed school district. There are so many things being added to education, to list the best practices for education, curriculum, training that will help our staff become better and more effective in the classroom, but it does cost money. Superior Court Justice Howard Manning wrote in a decision that only a fool would find that money does not matter in education. Diane Ravitz wrote in her book, The Death and Life of the Great American School System, our schools cannot be improved by those who say that money doesn't matter, resources matter. We have a committed board and administration, just as the assembly is committed. We are committed to spending wisely to strengthen our schools, narrowing and closing the achievement gap of our students, providing an equitable education for each and every student, not just some, but each and every one. So I'm asking the borough to step up your commitment, increase your contribution to our school system from past years. I would even love to see it if you give us the maximum allowed by state. So that we can continue to build what we are starting, what so many have dedicated and committed individuals giving their blood, sweat, and tears to build here in Wrangell, a school system that will provide for our mission to educate and inspire every student, our vision to graduate students who are resilient, innovative, and prepared for the future, with values of be respectful, be honest, act with integrity, be courageous, develop confidence, and be kind. Please, and yes, if you want me to beg, I will, but please give us the funding we need to support our school system.
Thank you very much. President Wilson. President Wilson, while you're here, just really quickly, I just want to ask if any assembly member has any question for President Wilson. You know, we have the school board president. I really appreciate that you came down today. So I'd just like to offer up to anybody if you have a specific question for President Wilson. Yep. Assembly member Dalrymple.
Do it. President Wilson, I'm not sure if this is directly related to you know, what's on the table in front of us right now, but when you came and talked to us, I believe the number was 20% of the students were missing, I guess, and not in the schools, and not their presence didn't bring the funding with them, the base allocation. I'm just wondering, and I guess encouraging the school board to really work on that 20%. And I think you had some charts in here that anticipate we'll have some recovery from that. That's a big number.
And we have been. We've actually called every home of past students to see what we can do to bring students back. We have brought back a number of students. But, you know, one of the problems that we've had, and we've discussed having our own homeschool system, but we'd be competing against the school systems, homeschool systems that can offer hundreds of classes that have full-time employees and stuff, and it would be a huge financial investment to start a homeschool program to compete against places like Raven and some of the other homeschool systems we'd have to compete against. So we have looked into it, but we'd have to be asking for even more additional funding. But yes, it is something we're working on. It's not something that we've taken lightly. We have gotten back a number of our students. Right now, from before COVID, we're down about 40 students from what we were before COVID. So we were 306 or 308 before COVID. We're now at 364, 366? 260? 257, sorry. So we're working on it.
Yeah,
we're
just encourage that. You know, keep working on that, I guess. I'm still a little concerned. I don't know if all those kids are in homeschool. I mean, it's kind of a, I don't know how you can tell.
Some are homeschooled. Some, there, we've had, you know, I mean, people are moving out of the community too. You know, and we're hopefully getting more people to move in. You know, I guess it's something that we're, you know, that we need some economic development here too, and I know you guys are aware of that. Something to bring community in. But you know, I will say I was, this last weekend I was up in Anchorage and I attended two different seminars, one in law and policy that was all about school funding throughout the state. And you know, our funding is, I saw that Wasilla Mat-Su Valley School District, 94.1% of their budget goes to instruction and instruction support. Anchorage's 96% of their budget is to instruction and instruction support. So it's not like we're out of line at all. We're doing better than some districts. So we're working very hard to try and bring things in line and to try and make sure that we're offering the students as much as we can. But we have had to cut so many things. And a lot of it, some of it was student enrollment before COVID ever hit us. you know, we were going down. When we moved here in 1998, there were over 500 students in the district. 1995, it was 550-something students. You know, so community has just been shrinking. So we want to bring students back. And one way that we can do that is by increasing some of what we can offer, especially in the high school. Because if they can be getting it online instead of being getting it in by in-person delivery, that's where they're going to choose.
Thank you. Appreciate your attention to that.
Thank you, President Wilson. We really appreciate you coming down tonight.
Thank you.
Ms. Morris.
Hello, my name is Tasha Morris, and I am a teacher at Ringgold Public Schools. I just wanted a chance this evening to speak to you, to share my thoughts about funding our schools. Firstly, I have been teaching at Ringgold for the past 14 years. I've always been the district-wide music teacher, and I see more kids on a weekly basis than any other teacher in our school district. I'm the only full-time K-12 teacher in our district. Last year, I was asked to teach a class that's completely out of my field of study. I am now also the high school art teacher, as well as the district music teacher. I teach one class period of art to 16 9th through 12th grade students, and I love music. It's what I studied in my undergrad, and I also love teaching, so I went back and got my master's in education. As a person who loves teaching children, I couldn't convince myself that only my art form, in this case music, was what our students need. Our students need visual arts, they need industrial arts, they need music. The kids need a creative outlet through their days in school. I gave up teaching one of our most popular bands, jazz band, so that I could make sure that students had a visual arts class. There's no money contractually to cover 0-hour classes, and I have no time in my day to take an extra prep since I serve K-12, and I have a full schedule. So the only other way we can get away with teaching an extra period, contractually speaking, is to then have an extra prep. However, don't get me wrong, I'm not here asking for extra money for teachers. We're not looking for a raise. I'm looking out for kids in my band, my choir, and in my art room. These kids live for music and art. I've had kids tell me that music was the only reason that they came to school. When we don't fund our schools and we lose programs like music, art, and shop, we lose the reason that some of our kids even come to school. Another point I want to make is that I have children going to school here. I want my children to have the best education possible. No one looks at their child and says, "I hope your education is mediocre." We always want the best for our children. In these past 14 years, I've watched many teachers retire, and we have pretty much never replaced them. I've seen our numbers in the teaching staff dwindle, and we are still doing what we can to provide services a school should provide. However, if we can't get funding, that's going to change. It's going to affect so many of us. I'm worried that it will directly affect me, as teaching the arts is what I do for a living. Motivating students to do hard things is important, especially in a tech-driven world. Students need to use their minds creatively to have a well-rounded education. In the past several months, the high school art kids have taken on a really big project, and maybe you've read about it in our newspaper or heard it on KSTK. Perhaps you saw it in Alaska Public Media or on the Anchorage Daily News. Our kids are currently sitting at the top 5 schools nationwide in an art contest. Thank you. And currently, we're going to get $15,000 for our art program with the possibility of $50,000. These kids see the meaning in art and music and shop, and they're willing to do these hard things to keep them going. But it shouldn't be on our students for this funding. I cannot tell you how much fundraising I've done over the years to supplement our arts programs. I've had car washes, tuba toss games, I ran a carnival at the 4th of July, I've hosted bake sales at basketball games. These kids see the benefit, but it seems that sometimes the adults in our community forget these things. I really hope the community can see that if we do not fund our schools, we're denying our students a well-rounded education. We will not be able to provide anything but our 3 R's, and our kids' futures will suffer because of it. Teaching bare bones is not what our students need to survive in the world and to be able to thrive. Our kids are our future. Our kids deserve a well-rounded education, and I strongly urge you to please fund our schools and give the students the education that we have all worked so hard to give them. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay.